Alrighty, hey ladies, this is Christy Young with The Gritty Gospel, and I have my friend Jazz with me again.
Back
I'm super
again.
Excited. Really, we're doing back-to-back recordings. Mm-hmm. There's no secret here. Okay, we're in the same clothes. Okay, so Jazz, parenting's really easy, right? I mean,
right. You've
got this, right? Like, you've just like, man, got this down, and ain't a day that goes by where there's anything that stumps you, is there, Jazz?
No, nothing. Thankfully, I'm not the one doing
the
majority of the parenting right now, so I get to avoid
a lot
of them.
Well, now tell them why. Or tell them about who you are and what you're doing and who your husband is and what he's doing.
Yeah, currently my husband is living the disabled, retired veteran life, and so he does all of the parenting, not all of the parenting, but the majority of the parenting while I am a full-time nursing school student. But yeah, parenting is hard. I can't say it's my favorite thing in the world. It's definitely hard. It's definitely sanctifying. It's something that, the Lord has called us to, my husband and I though. And so we roll with it every day with whatever the punches are. And
here's the deal. I'm going to give you a little bit of color to her situation. Callie started out like until first grade, kindergarten. First grade.
End of kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Public school.
Yeah.
And then Jazz felt super convicted out of nowhere to pull her baby. She never planned to homeschool.
No.
In fact, like, she was my friend too, who was like, you're whack. Like, I don't understand what you're doing. You're a crazy weirdo homeschooler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she's a crazy weirdo homeschooler.
Crazy weirdo homeschooler. I'm sure we'll talk about that in another video. Yeah. I think that our kids are called to be home with us. I think that the Bible, all throughout scripture, talks about how we are to disciple our kids and mm-hmm. teach them. And that doesn't mean we put them somewhere else or put them in a public school. And I think everybody has to make the best decisions for their family, but I just definitely think it's something that my husband and I were convicted about early on.
And then even when she went back to school, so you started off homeschooling, mm-hmm. and then you passed the baton
yeah.
to your husband.
So I homeschooled Callie until she was in fourth grade, I think, and then my husband came home. I did my 2-year degree full-time as well. And
She's
then
crazy.
By God's grace, my husband was able to come home for a season. So now he's home while I finish school. And he loves it. And he sees it. He sees the value in dads coming alongside their wives to homeschool. And that dads definitely play a role in discipleship of their children as well.
Oh, yeah. Kids.
And parenting can't just be on the moms. So encourage your husbands to come alongside you in parenting and having the hard conversations with your kids. Because I think that, especially with daughters, having a little girl, it's different. Like, I didn't have that role model of a dad to have a hard conversation with me and a male perspective of how certain things should be and shouldn't be and what's to be expected of her. And so I think that it's very valuable for dads to be just as much hands-on with the kids as they can be, as the moms are.
I so agree. In fact, I remember reading an article that said, in fact, that dads are, their roles are even, they are even more important than ours.
Yeah.
Which is super humbling. But I can also see the validity in that. Okay, so you guys, today, Merry Christmas from The Gritty Gospel. And this is the 8th day of Christmas video that we're recording. And it's all about allowing God to bring us to the end of ourselves in parenting. And now I bet y'all are gonna, anyway, I hope that you just devour this because it's such a sweet message to you.
Yeah.
Because it's a message of encouragement, because God is faithfully going to bring us to the end of ourselves. And what I mean, specifically in parenting, because he can do that in a lot of areas of our lives, but I do believe that parenting is one of the primary ways that he uses. If we have been blessed with children, or even, you know, I know that there are grandparents who are adopting their kids' kids, so their grandkids, and there are people who are fostering teens, they're fostering little kids. They're in every kind of way, people can have adopted or taken on children. And that makes you a mother, a grandmother, just someone who is loving and pouring into kids. And those kids, I believe, the Lord uses to refine us and sanctify us in a way that is unique and that in a way that other things cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that there is a certain kind of suffering. Not suffering, and there's joy. I mean, there's beautiful, beautiful things born out of the relationship a parent has with their kids, and that as discipleship, as you walk in discipleship together, beautiful things that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there is also exhaustion and sleepless nights and hardship and kids who have diseases. They're special needs kids. I mean, I feel like, and probably we all do, we all have a posse of people around us with dealing with suffering in various capacities. all of which can bring us to the end of ourselves on any given day and any given moment. You know, if it's the third spill of the day and it's on the math book, and then your kids are crying and people are running fevers, and or your kids in the hospital, and I don't know, it just, all of our circumstances are different, but I am humbled by the way that God can use our children to cause us to suffer and bring himself glory and help us to get to our knees, to a place where we recognize that we need him, that we can't solve our own problems, that we can't save our children. In fact, you might have a story about this too. I might share a story about my daughter, a time where I really felt like I didn't know if I would bring my daughter home from the hospital or not. Mm-hmm. Do you have a story like that where you feel like the Lord, it was very clear to you, was there ever a time in parenting where you recognized that you had no ability to save Callie? And that, I don't know, that, and of course there's salvation, saving, but I just even mean in a fleshly sense where you realized as much as you were her mother and desired to protect her and keep her safe, that really all of that was out of your hands.
Yeah, I think that like, even in the simple things of like, when she was in public school and then bringing her home, you know, realizing that when she was in public school and I was advocating for public school, you know, that just that she is the Lord's, and that, you know, people are in seasons where they have to have their kids in government schools, and just surrendering our children that they're gifts from God first and foremost, they are from him and they're gifts to us. And so looking at it from that perspective, I think helps in those moments of suffering, that we're surrendering the control that we all kind of like to hold on to. We'd like to try to hold on to the reins, and that's something that I struggle with still in different things. But yeah, surrendering her to him first and foremost, I think, shifts how we pick, I can parent her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then to your point too, I was a public school kid. Mm-hmm. I grew up, and then God saved me. I'm so thankful that somehow he gave me eyes to see and opened my eyes in a way that, you know, and I've already told you all this, but I was raised kind of in a nominally Christian home. We did not practice, like, you know, we didn't go to church, we except maybe on Easter and Christmas. And so, but I praise God that yes, even in that the Lord, I don't know, he finds his people and he draws people unto himself. And I praise God for that in every capacity and in all places. And then for us, she's our second daughter, when she was about 10 months old, she went into the hospital with RSV and was there for 10 days. And we were in the drop down ICU unit. And I remember them packing her with ice, and her breathing was so shallow and so fast that I couldn't hold her because she was running a fever and my body heat would warm up her even more. So I just remember feeling very helpless. Like there was nothing I could do to help save my baby girl. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember getting to the end of myself where I said, you know, where I was like, Lord, I love you. I trust you. And this baby is yours. You've given her to me for a time. I don't know how long that time is. Yeah. And I pray that we will go home with her. And Lord, I just petition you, Father, would you hear our prayers? Would you heal our baby? But I remember thinking in that moment that I didn't know what his will would be and whether we would go home with that child or not. But I think that there is such beauty in that suffering there was for me, because it helped me to appreciate the sovereignty of God, the holiness, the majesty, just how I don't have control over my life or my circumstances, but he holds them all in his hand. Mm-hmm. And so parenting for sure is hard. And then, you know, what's hard too is that parents and kids alike are sinful.
Yeah.
And so how does that rub? Even for you, have you felt like raising Callie has been sanctifying for you and sanctifying for Callie and your husband?
Unfortunately, yes, because I don't think anybody goes out to want to be sanctified in a day. You know, it can feel like friction all day long. And now with her being almost 12, I think that you and Larry talked about it in your video some too, just like, we don't want to cultivate what the society says is okay for a teenage girl to act like and be moody and all those things. So even in the season that we're in now, the sanctification is a whole nother level of sanctification than what I've experienced with her the last, you know, almost 12 years. You know, I think it started with like the small sanctifications after I became a believer was like not yelling every day. Like I had yelling at home every day, you know, and like not responding to her that way, because then when she would get frustrated, she would start yelling. And I'm like, whoa. Like, hold your horses, you can't yell. But I was yelling, you know? And so I think that that was something that like the Lord delivered me from early on in my parenting. Thank him so much every day still that I don't raise my voice to her anymore. But you know, she remembers that and stuff. And so dealing with my sin is hard. But then now she's at an age where she can see that I am dealing with my sin, and how you handle your sin is how your kids will handle their sin too, you know, or they will have to later unlearn how you handled your sin to relearn how to handle their sin. And so,
oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, then you're touching on another point that I wanted to make. And that parenting, we need to stay humble. Somehow, we need to allow the Lord to continue to humble us in parenting.
And let our kids see it. Like, let your kids see you be humbled. Don't shy away and hide it from them.
Well, and then just like what you were saying too, in all the ways that you repent before the Lord and repent before Callie, I do the same thing as I faithfully mess up all the time. And then, oh yes, girl, all the time. So that would be my encouragement to you ladies too, as well as to us, because it's not like we have it all together. We don't. In fact, I am so thankful to the Lord that he's always teaching me and refining me and humbling me in every way. I'm so grateful. I can feel it because I feel bad. I feel gross. I feel like I'm sinning when I explode, because there are times where, especially recently, when we're feeling like our kids are just dropping the ball in a lot of things, and maybe explode is a strong word, but you know, the reality is that I've gotten very frustrated. And then I've told my kids, that's one thing that I want to work on, that I don't want to get so frustrated to the point that I am yelling at them. I want to be able to stay cool as a cucumber and just issue them an additional chore. If they're grumbling or complaining about chores, I'm going to issue them an additional chore, for example. But I am staying humbled by the Lord in parenting. And I'm so grateful for just that the Lord uses parenting to keep us so humble. Because if we can be people that would, I don't know, have meek spirits where we're always receiving, not criticism from the Lord, but receiving like almost his chastising through his word as I read his word and realize how short I fall of his standards. Oh, it keeps my spirit supple. And then I think our kids see that.
Yeah.
And then over time, kind of like what you're saying with Callie, over time, they desire the same thing. They can see that it is good for growth and it's good for becoming more intimate with the Lord. I don't know. Good things are born out of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Well, and I think too, just to go back to your other point too about like suffering, I think as moms, we pour out constantly. And then as members of a church body, we're pouring out there. And then we're pouring out for our husbands. We're pouring out for our kids. And so God's constantly bringing us to the end of ourselves where we feel like we have nothing left. And so then if you have something happen, like a sickness or a special needs kid or something like that, and you're already so poured out, it's hard to not, react more, you know, and be kind of more, like you said, almost explosive, but not explosive, explosive, but just where your emotions do get the best of you. You're more human than acting out of what Christ's will is for you. And so I think it's good for our kids to see that, but then also to see the repentance, also to see the joy after that we find in repentance and the freedom too. Yeah. Like I feel so free after I repent to Callie or after I repent to the Lord or as I grow more sanctified, you feel less weight when you are fully poured out. You know, the more you surrender at the end of yourself. When you get to that point, the more you surrender, the next time you go through suffering, you might surrender faster because you realize it's more freeing to do it in the beginning than when you're at that point where you're exploding.
That's so true. Okay, and then one of the things, we have two final points. One of them, I want to just encourage you that sometimes you need to sit in your suffering. That, and I mean, sometimes when you get to the end of yourself and you feel so broken and so weary and so tired or so alone, you know, fill in the blank with whatever the characteristic is, the adjective is. But sometimes you just need to sit there with the Lord, because the Lord and recognize that the Lord has brought you there and that there are things he desires for you to learn and to glean there. And I have felt that before where you feel like you're in a season of suffering for too long. And then you're like, Lord, I don't understand why you have me here, but Lord, help me to glean what you would have me to glean, because you do have me here. There's a reason you have me here and I trust you and I love you. So would you help me to cultivate the fruits that you desire out to be born out of this? Would you help me, make me into the woman that you've appointed me to be? And you, and I desire that you would use the suffering to shape my character and mold me and make me more like you.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to end us with Romans 5:3-5. It says this, and not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions or in our suffering, because we know that affliction or suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. So you guys, our suffering literally Paul is saying that we should rejoice in our suffering because we know that that suffering produces endurance in us. And then that endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Sisters, their suffering is necessary for our growth and for the fruits of endurance, perseverance, for character to be developed, for hope, for our hope to rise. God says that we should rejoice in our suffering because our suffering will produce in us these qualities. We can't have endurance apart from suffering. We can't have character apart from suffering. And really, our hope we cannot have apart from suffering, because we have to necessarily get to the end of ourselves to recognize our need for a Savior.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. So rejoice in your sufferings.
Yes.
And we love you, and we'll see you next time.